right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to This Just Anime. It's a podcast all about anime all of the time. And if you are listening to this, know that it is because we have developed a new form of mind control. However, specifics are unavailable at this time. Thanks for tuning in anyway. I am your host, Nicholas Meeks, and joining me today, as always, is best friend and Mrs. Doubtfire cosplayer, hireable for children's birthday parties, Corey Scold. Corey, what's up, dude?
Now, if I'm a Mrs. Doubtfire cosplayer specifically, am I dressing up as Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes, or, that was the intention behind the whole thing. It was a long-winded description. I'll give you that, but that's
it's one of those things. Like, am I actually like Mrs. Doubtfire, the fictional character, or am I dressing up as Robin Williams as Mrs. Doubtfire?
I mean, you work it. I mean, it's your profession. So I don't know. You tell me.
These are the questions that I have.
About yourself.
it's a deeper lake of a profession than you may have previously thought.
I think you really need to take a look inside yourself and maybe reassess where your life is going.
Some soul searching.
But I don't know. I just write the script here. So
yeah,
whatever's on here. All right. Well, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. If you're tuning in for the first time, thank you.
It's usually this weird. Welcome back.
It's usually this weird. It doesn't get less weird, I'm going to tell you right now.
Nah.
But thanks for tuning in anyway. If you're unfamiliar with how the cast usually works, Corey and I have three different segments to run, three different topics to talk about. We run a bunch of different shit every week. Some are returning topics. Others are just new segments that we thought of this week. In today's episode, we are going to take a look at the latest in the news. We will proffer an unpopular opinion, and we take a closer look at one of the biggest series to come out this year.
Yeah.
Let's get started with segment number one. Segment number one is called News and Noteworthy, where we take a look at the latest in anime-related news that we saw last week or weeks before if we didn't get to it. We did have the Power Cast last week, so yes. We weren't able to get to a lot of stuff. Be sure to check out last week's episode if you haven't already. It's where we went through everything that all the shows in the latest season we ranked every show from top to bottom. So that was a whole hell of a lot of fun.
Totally, dude. I'm enjoying the Power Casts more and more.
Yeah. Anyway, some news this week. As I said, some old news that we were unable to get to last week. Yes, we saw the Rick and Morty animated short. It was made by Takashi Sano. That's the director of Tower of God, if you didn't know. And it was weird.
Yes. I mean, par for the course for Rick and Morty. Like,
yeah, certainly. One, it was weird to see it animated by a Japanese studio. And I don't really know what the goal there was. Maybe does Rick and Morty have just like a massive Japanese audience? Or it was just like a weird thing to do. I don't know. It's cool. It's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it had a pretty big boom here for sure. I don't know how it does in Japan.
Actually, I want to see how many views on YouTube that it received.
4,673,526.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No, pretty good. It's kind of a funky, the art style mixing is really interesting.
Yeah, that was what kind of weirded me. I was like, the art style was kind of, I don't want to say jarring, it was certainly different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was meant to be that way. I mean, you think about Rick and Morty, just everything about that show is odd.
Totally.
Is a kind way to put it. So it made sense. Yeah. It made total sense, but it was just kind of, it was sort of like from out of left field. If you think about it, then again, maybe it wasn't because, you know, there's a lot of, obviously Toonami has been running anime Adult for Swim years, kinda, Adult Swim, you know? So,
I mean, that's how I first started watching anime was Toonami and Adult
Swim. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
And Adult Swim has been working with a lot of Japanese studios, off and on for a long time now. So I guess maybe it wasn't too odd to see that.
No, maybe not. Are you a fan of Rick and Morty in general?
I do like Rick and Morty. Yeah. I don't think I'm caught up on Rick and Morty.
Nor am I, actually.
Yeah, but it is pretty funny.
Yeah. I got to a point where I feel like I ran into all these guys in college that were like, oh man, I watch Rick and Morty because it, like, not only is it funny, but it makes you smarter. And like, if you don't think Rick and Morty is the best show on TV, you're an idiot. And I was just like, like that turned me off to it for a while.
Yeah, just the fan base was definitely toxic. I mean, that was a huge deal. That was a huge deal for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember just how toxic the community was, and it's like everyone was like, it's like, okay, let's turn it off for a little while.
Yeah.
Maybe come back to it.
Which is a shame, because it is like, I've always thought it was a pretty funny show.
It is really funny. It does not make you smarter.
No.
As a human being, though. I can attest to. I did not gain brain cells or a higher IQ for that matter.
No.
At least I don't believe so. Been sitting at kind of the same point in my life for a while now.
If anything, we're regressing. I mean,
yeah, that's what I think. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and watch some Rick and Morty, and I'll let you know next episode what happens.
We'll have you take a test when we're done recording, and then
yes, live on air, so everybody can hear it and just find out exactly how stupid I am. That is a great idea.
First ever Patreon content.
Yeah, there you go. That's a fantastic
watch Nick take
idea.
A quiz on the internet. What the hell else are we doing?
Everybody loves learning about how like somebody other than themselves is like just dumber than
That's true. That's very
it's like
true.
Everybody's favorite pastime. That's why reality television exists.
It's like the clickbaitiest. Watch this guy on the internet make you feel better about your own personal intelligence.
All of our Patreon content was all going to be. Oh boy. Anyway, go and check out that short. It was only like 8 minutes long. If you haven't seen it yet, it was weird. Especially
on YouTube, Adult Swim has it on their channel.
Yep. So check that out especially if you're a Rick and Morty fan.
Yeah. Or a Tower of God fan, I guess.
Or Tower of God or animation in general. I don't know.
It's worth it. If you want something kind of trippy to look at for 8 minutes,
exactly.
I would say that's about as trippy as you can get.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, in another bit of old news, I also hear that one of my favorite film franchises of all time, Blade Runner, is getting an anime. It's set in the Blade Runner universe. It's set to be released in 2021 alongside other there's actually a lot of stuff coming out in 2021. It seems like it's kind of based on Western media. We'll get to another one here after a bit. But the series will be called Blade Runner Black Lotus. It's set in the year 2032, which is a time period.
Famously expensive magic card, the Black Lotus.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit out of left field there. But yeah, sure. I totally know what you're talking about there. I play a ton of magic. I think I just outed myself as a not magic player.
Now. Yeah, yeah.
It is what it is.
You're anyway, not a real nerd.
I'm not.
You're just kind of a nerd because about anime.
And outed. anyway, the series is going to be set in the year 2032. It's a time period that's sandwiched between the two films. So it'll be really interesting. Co-directors Shinji Aramaki and Kenji Kamiyama are at the helm for this series. And the legendary Shinichiro Watanabe joins as creative producer. Shinichiro, of course, Cowboy Bebop, Space Dandy, Carol and Tuesday, Samurai Champloo. So, I mean, that's
a pedigree right there.
That's a good pedigree. So some of you may remember this, when Blade Runner 2049 came out a few years ago, there was actually an animated short developed by a Japanese studio. Mm-hmm. It was like 15 minutes long, I want to say. That was kind of hyping up the film.
Yes.
And I remember watching that and thinking like, that was so cool. I wish that an anime.
That the whole movie was like that.
Yeah. I wish that there was a series based on this, because that was just like fucking disgustingly cool.
And there it is, man.
And here it is. I'm so excited, really. Seriously excited.
Blade Runner is one of those. I mean, it's an iconic franchise for sure.
Yeah. The first film may not be up everyone's alley, I don't want to say. I just think that the universe in general is like such a cool universe, especially for an animated series. It's going to be it's going to be just perfect if they handle it appropriately. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Especially with, I feel like a lot of fans were divided on the 2049 release. So
I really like 2049.
Yeah.
I think you might be in the minority,
my friend.
Really?
A lot of folks I know who are big into the series were not thrilled with 2049.
Well, maybe I am then. I don't know. I really like 2049. Yeah. I think that it was definitely, in terms of It definitely differentiated itself from the first film. It was way more mainstream. It wasn't exactly mainstream by any stretch of the means, I don't think. But I mean, you look at the first film and you're kind of
it's an investment.
I don't think that gets by if it were released today. Certainly a classic. But definitely stylistically, the two films are very, very different in tone.
Sure.
But I like 2049, so I don't know.
Cool.
Anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with this upcoming series, other than it'll be set in the same universe and a lot of I guess we'll see a lot of familiar characters as well.
Yeah, so. I would imagine so.
That'll be really cool.
Cool, man.
I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. What else we got?
Yeah, and other news about stuff coming out in 2021, I guess. Netflix is doubling down on series based on video game franchises. In addition to a series that's going to be produced by Studio Trigger, set in the cyberpunk universe.
It's going to be cool. We talked about that a while ago.
Yeah. Sam Fisher is joining the fray as Splinter Cell is getting an animated series come 2021. Not a ton is known about this as of right now.
Yeah.
I know, Corey, you and I just had an argument about what exactly anime is a couple of episodes back.
Debate. It was a civil debate.
Yeah. We don't know if a Japanese studio is going to be producing this or not. The article that first reported the news said that it is an anime.
Sure.
We don't know exactly what that means. Derek Kolstad.
Definition they're using.
Yep, we don't know. I don't know what the art style looks like. We don't know anything other than it's called an anime. From the looks of it, we don't know if it might be produced in the West here. Derek Kolstad is actually going to be in charge of the series. He's known for his work with the John Wilkes Booth. He's the John Wilkes Booth film franchises. Those will be weird. Yeah. The John Wick film franchises. He's going to be writer producer for the upcoming Splinter Cell series,
which I feel like weirdly enough that ties it back to Cyberpunk with the whole like Keanu Reeves thing.
Yeah,
and Johnny Silverhand.
Yeah, we've come full circle. How about that?
Very odd. Anyway. No, it makes a lot of sense. I'm hyped. I think the Splinter Cell games have like maybe not the biggest fan base anymore, but the people who are like Splinter Cell diehards are very much.
Oh, they're devoted.
It still has that like it still has that appeal. They're fondly remembered games.
Yeah, it's one of those things that this better be done right. Yeah. It better have like an actual some production value behind it, or else it's just going to be kind of thrown to the wolves.
Well,
I think
they keep teasing a new Splinter Cell game coming out too. Like, there's been one in development for a really long time,
right?
So I wonder if they've just kind of been pushing back and are like, we'll just remind people.
Yeah, that's kind of a shitty thing to do, don't you think?
I
think that you feel like they'll have to announce like a new game before the series comes out, maybe.
Right, or like along with use the marketing for one to kind of propel the other.
Yeah, I did read a few comments that were like, "Oh, cool, we're getting a series, but not a game."
Not a game. Yep. with like E3 and all of the kind of like big video game conventions being virtual this year, a lot of the like really choice announcements have just been kind of shelved until people can actually be in the same place again.
Right.
Which is
yeah, that makes sense. But
at the same time, I will say like I'm all for Netflix's video game inspired series. I think the Castlevania, if you want to call it an anime, I probably would. But I think that was like a badass, solid, successful show.
It was, yeah, I agree.
And like, if they can do more like that, I'd be stoked.
Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of series that have been successful.
No,
when they're based on video game franchises, which is unfortunate.
True, the Splinter Cell games being kind of more linear. You know, they're from an era of games where like it was a little bit less about like the open world and environment and stuff. So
yeah, I think that I think that a video game franchise especially is more suited to getting a like an episodic adaptation rather than a film because.
Yeah.
The film just never works.
It's right. You run into trouble with content for sure.
Certainly. So hopefully the series is good. We'll definitely give it a watch when it is released. So we'll wait for that.
Keep an eye out for it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, and our last bit of news today, something kind of cool that I saw, and I just wanted to get your opinion on this. I saw this on Anime News Network. looks like over the last 60 days, My Hero Academia was the second most popular television title in the United States.
Hell yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Plus it was just behind SpongeBob SquarePants.
Really?
Yeah. SpongeBob, huge.
Dude, I'm here for both those shows, man.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's hype. That's rad as hell.
Number two. Just to give you an idea of how much anime has really taken off.
Right.
It's just becoming huge. My Hero, it doesn't even have a season right now. I mean, right. The season ended back in January?
It was this winter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a fall, or I'm getting this wrong. Anyway, came out last year.
Either way,
came out last year. Ended at some point. It's still at number two all the way over in July here.
Hell yeah, I dig that show, man. I mean, I obviously a lot of people do, but like, good for it. It deserves it.
Yeah, I one of the few like shonen titles, kind of traditional shonen titles that really do get behind.
It's cool to see. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, like, it's a traditional shonen show, but it does such a good job of being, like, in an era where kids' shows especially, because I wouldn't say that it's, like, just a kids' show, but it's definitely, like, that's a title that appeals to a younger audience, for sure. Mm-hmm. And in this era where you have so many cool kids' shows that are, like, not only entertaining, but, like, really tackling greater issues, like, larger social issues and societal concerns, shows like Steven Universe or shows that are kind of out there like Adventure Time still hit on like some pretty important stuff, you know. Dark so theme, I feel like
darker themes
for having me. I've always felt that like a lot of anime shows have like not shied away from those issues, like they've been doing that for a while, but one as successful as My Hero is always cool to see.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, yep, that was, I think that about wraps it up for news and noteworthy.
Yeah,
Ending it on some, just some cool stuff that I saw. I was a little bit surprised to see that, although.
Yeah, that's a cool.
Maybe I shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move right on into segment number two. Segment number two is called Unpopular Opinion. It's a segment where we proffer an opinion that you may or may not agree with. We are assuming that you probably won't agree with what we're about to tell you.
Flack on Twitter if this is something that you just go spouting. Yeah.
Yep. Hence, unpopular opinion. Today's topic, my question, I guess that I'm posing is CG animation really all that bad for anime? Or is this just a big issue of just bandwagon hate? What I mean by bandwagon hate is that you see a lot of hate thrown at a series or like a certain style of art, and you just kind of hop on that and say like, yeah, that does suck. And then more people kind of pile on. So yeah, that's the topic that we're going to tackle today. Do you want, Corey, do you have an opinion on this, or should I start here?
You go and I'll formulate my words accordingly.
I'll start. my opinion on it, and this is why I'm running it as unpopular opinion. Mm-hmm. I will never dismiss a series just for the simple fact that it utilizes CG animation.
Sure.
I don't go into a series and see CG and just like, well, this show sucks. I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
It's already terrible. I feel like that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of unfortunate for some series, especially that
get a bad rap out of the gate.
They turn out to be at the very least watchable, consumable, and they're totally fine. I know Drifting Dragons is one that comes to mind that I thought was good.
I enjoyed Drifting Dragons.
It was good. There was nothing wrong with it. It uses CG animation, but I didn't hate it for that reason alone.
Sure.
I think that a lot of hate comes from the idea that like there are certainly a lot of shows that are CG animated that are just bad. They're just really bad. And so I feel like a lot of people see those shows and then go into others and just kind of be like, well, this show's not going to be good. So. The production value is shit. So I'm not going to watch it. I'm not even going to give it a chance.
Sure.
And personally, I just think that's wrong.
Stupid.
I don't know. I just think it's a little bit wrong. I think that some shows offer something, a little bit of something, even though they're using CG. Others don't. It just depends on the content.
Sure. Well, and you, I feel like you're usually watching shows for the content more than like the aesthetics anyway, right?
I mean, yes and no. I will say that one thing that I don't like that shows do is if a show is using hand-drawn animation and then for like fight scenes or like anything that gets complicated, they switch to CG.
Sure.
To save some money on the budget or whatever. Sure. That. That kind of takes me out of it. Visually, it's not, it looks weird just because you go from one thing to another and it's,
yeah, your eyes, have,
it's obvious
to adjust.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. That kind of didn't work. So I don't like that as much, but the decision to use CG or use hand-drawn, if a series sticks to CG and they tell a story and they tell it really well,
sure.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
I still think that I would still prefer that the art be good, at least up to snuff, but I don't like dismissing series just for just that reason alone.
They're CG animated.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of my 2 cents on it. Anyway. I know it's just a total hatred for CG animation.
Don't judge a book by its animation, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I don't know. And there are other moments, you know, I feel bad for other series that just clearly they don't have the budget to make something.
Yeah.
Or like
an amazing.
Yeah. And so like try your best. And then it's everybody just like harping on it because they used a CG scene.
Right.
They flat out don't have the budget to like animate something. Yeah, they're trying to tell a story, but they literally can't.
So you're using the tools that are available.
So I don't know. I think it's, I think it's unnecessary at times how much hate, just
outrage,
how outraged people are at CG animation.
Pretty salty.
Crazy to me sometimes. Yeah. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think? What is your,
so I guess I would say I'm still like a relatively new member of the anime community. And because of that, I'm certainly like aware of the amount of hate that CG animation gets, but like it wasn't a formative like influence on me. Like I didn't start watching shows and then immediately be told like, oh, all CG shows suck. Don't watch them. They're bad. So I feel like I've been able to keep a pretty open mind in terms of what I like to watch. And I definitely get the like I said, using the resources that you have available. You know, if you're a show with a really cool concept and a director who's taken some risks, but you don't have the clout of a major studio backing you, but you do have, you know, enough resources to get your show off the ground, I think, yeah, I would rather do it and get it seen and maybe improve as I go than just wait for a chance that might never come. I think my big thing and one of the reasons I like anime so much as a medium is there's so many really unique art styles under the umbrella of like anime art, animation in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like a Studio Trigger show always looks distinct. Shows from like, you know, the like early 90s anime style is like very much its own like brand, if you will. And I really like seeing creators that are able to kind of set themselves apart using the art style that they choose, even if it's a choice that I question. Like, we're going to talk about it some more later, but like in God of High School, right? All of the characters have bright red noses and like the tops of their ears are red and like their shoulders, which is just a, like, I don't fully understand that
anything,
choice.
Anything that kind of sticks out and is round.
Yeah, but it makes, it's distinctive, you know, like it's memorable. It's something that sets it apart. So if you're a CG show and you're able to like still put your own kind of artistic spin on what you're making, I'm 100% in. Like, even I'm not a big Ruby fan. I tried it. It wasn't really my thing, but like, I got to hand it to it. It's unique art style. Yes, it's CG, but it's like, it's its own particular brand of CG, right?
Yeah. And it's only gotten better and better as seasons have gone. And if I'm totally honest, I'm not really big into Ruby either, but I can admit that the animation and everything has become significantly better as the seasons have gone.
Right. And at the very least, even the early stuff was like intriguing.
Like, yeah. I mean, they were able to tell a story that attracted millions of viewers and drew them into their world. And
using what they had. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I guess at the end of the day, I'm maybe I'm too new or too dumb to like have a strong bias already. But I'm in the same boat as you. Like, if I see a show that's CG, I'm not going to immediately write it off. Are there, you know, a lot of dime a dozen shows that are just like pumping out content using CG to like save a buck and like get it out there? Sure. Are there some pretty shitty CG shows? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't immediately write it off just because it's an animation style that's maybe not as immediately appealing to me.
Right. And that's where you should draw the line, right? Is like totally. CG shows that are bad. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like hand-drawn shows. Like, yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Like, even if the animation were better, if the show, the content is bad, the show is bad. Yeah. So that is what it is at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I'll say too, as CG's only gotten better and better, like you said, like with Ruby is a perfect example. The art from season one looks way different from what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And as animators and artists are able to like use those tools even better, like it's just going to get cooler, you know?
Yeah, totally agree. And I think one thing I will say is that depending on the content that you're going for, I might have a preference. You know, you mentioned the God of High School. Mm-hmm. Like thinking about that in CG and like the fight scenes, the show probably doesn't have the same impact, right? Like scenes don't look as good. They're not as
you're less able to put that character into it.
Yeah, exactly. So a show like that, you know, it might suffer from choosing that
that mode.
Type of animation style. But other shows, I have absolutely no problem with Drifting Dragons, like slice of life shows.
Yeah.
I don't think that there needs to be a ton of hate directed at shows like that don't need like a hand-drawn animation style in order to be good or be animated or even just be animated well, you know, in CG. So I don't know.
Yeah,
that is my two cents. like I said, might be an unpopular opinion. That's why the segment is called what it is.
I feel like more often than not, like most reasonable people would agree with us. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like
who's reasonable in today's
climate? You know,
like, are we reasonable?
Maybe a bigger criticism.
What is reasonable? Yeah, I don't know anymore. I'm not sure if I'm reasonable or not.
Fair, dude. Fair.
But regardless, it's an opinion.
Yeah.
And it's something that I cared about at the very least.
It's worth talking about.
There have been a few shows that I've enjoyed that I think got a lot of unwarranted hate. Just based on the animation style that they decided to use at the end of the day. So there you go.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, that about does it for segment number two, Unpopular Opinion. Let's move right on into our third and final segment of the day. We are speeding right along.
After the PowerCast, I always feel like we need a little bit shorter episode.
Break. this one might go on a little bit longer though.
Yeah.
Segment number three is called Series Spotlight. This is a segment where we take a closer look at a specific series. Could have come out this year, could have come out in the past. The series that we're going to talk about this week is The God of High School. We just watched episode four. Episode five is going to come out on Monday, so a lot of you listening to this cast right now will maybe have already watched episode five. We're only caught up through episode four, so that's what we'll talk about up until and this is a special edition of Series Spotlight because we're not only going to talk about like what the series is doing so far. We're going to talk about if it is really living up to all the hype that it had garnered.
Yeah.
After episode one, and kind of look at what is happening there.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So Corey, God of High School, let's just dig right into episode four because I think that's going to be the most important thing to talk about.
Right. Right.
What did you make of episode four? Like, what is happening here?
I don't know, man.
That's good. That's a good opinion.
Yeah, it was really kind of a. I don't feel like I know the show well enough yet to call it a departure from like the rest of the series, but it certainly was not what I expected this early in the show. I think, yeah, for. for the show that's, it's still kind of coming out of the gate, right? Like, this is only episode 4. We're still in, like, the exposition part of the story, I feel like. I don't feel like I have a full grasp of what's going on. Like, I don't know all of the rules of the tournament. I don't know all the players of the game yet. I get the general sense of, like, what's happening. I sort of understand our main characters, though admittedly, like, I think they could use a little bit more, like, I would like their motivations and, like, aspirations within the tournament to be a little bit clearer.
Or anybody else's motivations.
Or anybody else's.
I understand, like, a little bit, but...
It's been a lot of action so far, and, like, good action. And there's, like, there's this, like, occult conspiracy element to it that's really appealing to me. And there's a lot of cool scenes, but it just isn't really meshing. And episode 4 especially kind of highlighted that.
You mentioned the word departure, and you said mm-hmm. you didn't know if it was that or not. I am going to just full on say, like, episode four was just a total departure from, like, what I feel should have been happening
during the show. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we go into an individual character's backstory, and we use this really long winded, just storyline to flesh out her character. We use an entire episode.
Did it really flesh out her character is my question.
I think so. I think it did a good job of, like, explaining her origins and where she's coming from and what she plans to do. She's the keeper of the Moonlight Sword style. And she's kind of the last bastion of hope for that style. And so, like, we understand her intentions now. But we used literally an entire episode and just, like, a really weird story to get there. And then at the end of the episode, like, the meat, everything that we wanted to see, the fight between her and the fight between them, they use all of, like, 20 seconds to explain how the fight went, mm-hmm. and then the episode's basically over. And
I guess here's a question that I have: do you feel like that whole, like, wedding and backstory arc actually gave you any new information or not? Because I feel like in the first 3 episodes, she said multiple times, like, "I'm the last one. My dad died. I'm the only one on the planet who knows how to use this sword style. It's secretly really powerful. I need to find a worthy successor." Mm-hmm. I feel like she, like, blanket said those things a few times. And, like, that was an established fact. And I don't feel like this, like, wedding sleazy guy... Like, the only thing that was new information from that wedding was that this mystery sword guy also was able to, like, summon up a demon with his martial arts, I guess.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, like, maybe the only interesting thing that happens. Like, what are those things that these people can produce from their bodies? Like, what are those?
Yeah.
That maybe the only thing to be gleaned from this episode. That and literally, like, the last 30 seconds of the episode, which was the only important thing that happened.
The karate dude is actually a dick.
It's just, it was such an odd, it was such a weird way of telling her story. And you're right, it wasn't entirely necessary. We could have used, like, it could have been the opposite way around. Like, we could have led up to, we could have used maybe some of her backstory, mm-hmm. Leading up to her fight with Dawe, or we could have learned a little bit more about his relationship to his dying friend, which they teased for a second. Yeah, they used fuck all of, like, I don't know how many seconds with him. So, you know how it's, I don't even want to say,
choice, man.
I don't even want to say it's like a pacing issue. It's just like a, it's just,
no,
a,
it's just a there, weird it's choice. A weird,
yeah. It's just a weird way of telling the story that I don't feel like the pieces are coming together the way they intended.
Yeah. I really want to like this show.
Oh, absolutely.
Artistically, like I said, it sets itself apart. It has a very clear art style. Musically, I think it's phenomenal. I really love, like, the OP, the end credits. Even like the beginning of episode four with like whatever, like the nurse announcers for the tournament, I was like, all right, I'm here for this. This like weird comic book shaded, like funky pop art intro. Like, sure, hit me with it. I'm here. I think like the fight choreo is phenomenal. It's really visceral.
Unbelievable. It's even really
like
good.
I think I mentioned it last week, but like watching an episode with headphones on is so like incredibly visceral from like a sound design perspective.
Uh-huh.
Like it's obvious that the people who are making this show are like invested in it. They're putting work in. It feels disjointed. It feels like the pieces don't quite, like, all of the elements are there. It should be a good, like, it should be stellar. And for whatever reason, it's just not clicking together, you know?
Kind of missing the mark.
Yeah.
Somewhere. It's here 1 second, it's over here the next. Kind of what it feels.
It has, like, the highs are high. Like, the moments that you're really like, oh, shit. Even that last 20-second fight at the end was compelling. Like that was a solid amount of storytelling in a very short amount of time. But like, it's just baffling to me that they chose to spend like 23 of the 25-minute episode on this, like, let's introduce three more characters that are not particularly important to the story so far, as well as another character who's dead. to reestablish a fact that we've already stated multiple times in the first three episodes is just a weird choice to me.
It does seem so irrelevant.
Yeah,
to a certain degree. It's, I don't know. And yeah, you mentioned it, like the core elements that this show has are so strong.
They're badass, like man.
The fight scenes and everything. The stage itself, the shadows of the villains that
like the big martial arts tournament concept, like big martial arts tournament, slightly occult conspiracy behind it. I'm sold. Like that, I'm in. Tell me more. But it just doesn't work.
Yeah, but exactly. Please tell me more. Like, please move on.
Right.
I want to know.
Well,
I don't know what's happening
with the end of episode three, with like Jin going up against one of like the inside men who are organizing, like he's like a fight promoter or whatever, and like he summons up a big like Grim Reaper demon. Like that's important. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. How did we not immediately resolve that in the next episode? Yeah. Like how is no one talking about that?
We just went to odd places. And I feel like, and how do you feel about the development of our trio's friendship so far? Like, is it organic? Does it feel like just as disjointed as the rest of the series is feeling so far? Like I'm finding it difficult to understand. Yeah, I'm finding it a little bit difficult to kind of understand like exactly where they're at in their relationship to one another. Like, are they becoming like really good friends? Are they already really good friends? How did we get here exactly?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think on one hand, like the trio, like the three badass fighter trio trope is like, that's a tried and true, you know, like you see that in shows all the time. Like it works.
Yeah.
It's a proven system. It works. Like you think about like Samurai Champloo, like even Cowboy Bebop, like for a long time, mm-hmm. it's just a trio. You know, it's like, it makes sense. And I think, I guess, again, I feel like sort of the way they're kind of narrating their relationship is sort of how I feel about the rest of the show in general. Like, the highs of character development they have put together, like the scenes where, like, he accidentally knocks her sword in the river, and they all, like, show up to help look for it. I thought that was, like, yeah, I buy that. I believe that. Mm-hmm. These look like people who are, like, maybe at the end of the day they're rivals, but they're honorable enough and like human enough to like give a shit about each other. Or like when you're kind of first introduced to the three, that whole like chase bike destruction sequence, I thought that was really entertaining.
Yeah, that was a really cool way to open up a series, I thought.
And even in this wedding one, like the Wedding Crashers moment they had where they like beat up the whole security detail just to like remind her, like, do what you want to do. Don't be, you know, don't be doing this because you think it's your only option.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool. But then you have slower moments, you have weirder moments where it, I guess, I feel like I don't know enough about the characters individually to have a sense of like what their personal motivations are, you know?
It's such a weird, here's one way to think about it. It's like, it's so weird to think about it this way. Like the writing is good.
Yes.
The storytelling is maybe not there.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
You kind of think those two things go hand in hand, but it's odd. It yeah. feels odd.
It's just times. Like a degree off.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of wonder how we arrived at like a place that we've come to. And he's mm-hmm. like, wait, why are we here right now and like not elsewhere?
Right. Yeah, this is not how I expected episode 4 to shape up.
No. And I think this is definitely the most disjointed departure from the show itself so far. I had a few issues through episode 3. I mean, sure, they were kind sure. of minor, more minor gripes, but I think with episode 4, I kind of officially solidify my stance on like saying like, okay, the storytelling is a little bit off here.
Well, and like, let's talk about the fact that, so their fight at the end of episode 4 supposedly was the semifinals of this tournament.
Yeah, we've
so like, what the hell?
We've really kind of breezed through this entire tournament.
I thought almost, the whole show was going to be the tournament.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that after this tournament is over, we go, you know, we move on to like, I don't know, a different tournament, I guess.
Yeah, like
because like we. We don't really understand the importance of this tournament.
Right.
Because
I don't get the significance.
We don't see enough of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like we have all of these characters that were introduced in the episodes and we see these cool fight scenes. Well, they beat them. Yeah.
Introducing these cool characters too.
Yeah. And then they beat them and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. And it's
I thought that kid with the bat was going to be way more important. Like, he's in like half of the OP. He was in like all of the trailers and he was in a fight so far.
Right. Right.
Like just, I forget his name because he was in one fight.
Uh huh. And I expect a lot of these characters to return.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it's just like the tournament itself is just like, it's lost its,
importance.
We've lost our connection right, to it. Right. I don't even know if we ever really had an established connection to it in the first place.
It wasn't immediately stated. It was not immediately obvious.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's so weird so far. Like I said, we desperately want to like this series. It's still sitting at number, spoiler alert, if you didn't listen to the PowerCast, still sitting at number 6 in the PowerCast. But I don't know.
It doesn't fit. The pieces don't go together right. Yeah.
Hopefully we see some more streamlined storytelling.
Well, and like I keep saying, the highs of it, you know, this show is immediately able to like grab my attention and make me like invested in what's happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just when I get like a little further out from it that I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, right. And I will say that a lot of I did read a lot of comments saying that like the in the webtoon, because the series is based off a webtoon, there's a lot of character buildup and there's a lot of extra info
that
apparently the directors of the show kind of decided to gloss over a little bit in order to get to like the tournament.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people were saying like, oh, that was a good thing. You know, that a lot of that extra stuff. Yeah. A lot of that extra stuff was like kind of filler. It wasn't necessary. So they were, a lot of people were happy that they decided to go this route.
But maybe they trimmed a little too much.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, the storytelling is just kind of off.
Yeah.
And having not read the webtoon itself, I'm not mad because I've never read it. I'm not mad that they've cut anything out. I'm just watching this series raw, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of explaining what I'm seeing, and this is what I'm seeing. It's just kind of not all there.
Yeah.
So I guess at the end of the day, the final question is The God of High School worth all the hype that we had for it through episode one, as of episode four, or are we kind of maybe reconsidering our
lofty goals for it?
Okay.
I'm still holding out hope that like it's off to like kind of a rocky start, but it'll come together. Like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop for us to like learn a little bit more about what's at stake. And I think then I'll be able to forgive some of the weirdness. How about you? How do you feel about it?
I'm maybe approaching it with a bit more caution now, but I definitely really want to like the show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. And coming into episode five, I've seen a clip of the upcoming fight. And
mm-hmm.
I think that episode five really has an opportunity to kind of right some of those wrongs.
Totally.
So we'll see what happens there. But there's still hope, obviously. It's still ranked pretty highly in the current season.
Definitely.
Just thought that it could reach even greater heights, maybe.
Yeah. We shall see. Only time will tell.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, cool, that man. Does it for segment three. And that does it for episode 14 of the podcast.
That's our show.
Crazy. That's the show.
Dude, we've been doing this for 14 weeks now.
Longer than that. The pilot episode counts, too.
15 weeks now.
Holy shit.
I don't know how time works, man. It's 2020. The universe
there's no time.
Like,
there's no time in 2020.
Spiraling.
We do a podcast. Like, as far as I know, like I black out during the week, and then Sunday comes along, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't do a podcast.
Today. It's the only metric I have for time telling.
Yeah, that's right.
What day is it? Is it podcast day? Nope.
Cool. That's exactly right. Well, as we said, that does it from us. Please give us a like, hit that subscribe button if you could. Write a review about
us. Man.
We have like us,
three 5-star reviews so far.
Holy shit.
You could be number four. Yes, you.
The honorary title of being number four.
Number four, 5-star review. You could be the first ever review that is more than just stars, but actually offers like an opinion, which would be even cooler.
An opinion would be great if you could
write. Even if it's a critical opinion. Like, don't be a dick, but hey, opinions. Yep.
We want all of that shit, so please do. And if you want to write to us, you can get in touch with us at thisjustanimepodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Write us a strongly worded email on just any topics that we have. I don't know. Yeah. We always have opinions that a lot of people.
Yeah, if we're not talking about your favorite show this season, like hit us up.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk about it. We ain't got anything better to do. So.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
we got three segments to fill.
Yeah, three segments. We can't think of it. We can't think of three segments every week. Come on.
I can't even count to three.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You can also follow us on social media. This Just Anime PC. We have the same handle on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also, as always, check out the latest power rankings at thisjustanimepodcast.com. There are already going to be a couple of changes into this week already.
Drama,
so stay tuned
dude.
For that. Yep. Drama. The rankings get updated every Monday. So check it out if you got the time.
Cool. Cool.
All right. Well, that does it.
Let's get on out of here, Nick.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye, y'all.